Mississippi's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it's that time again. We are ready for the show, and I'm Mama Mac, and we are live right here at the table at the radio station. And with me is my amazing co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni, who just got off the road from a long trip.
I did. I made it on time.
Like you just drove right here. Yeah, you've been out of town working for your job for the last few days, and it's been a little crazy, hasn't it, for
always.
You? Always busy, always crazy. You're very productive. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be productive tonight because we got a great topic that we began last week. So we're glad you've joined us. If you'd like to call in during the show tonight at any time, 727-441-3000 is the number. I'll give it to you again if you want to grab a paper. And you can text us directly to my phone anytime, 727-888-4171 is our Google text number. You can send questions or comments there. The call-in number again, 727-441-3000. And we have, last week was part one of this new series. It is on the podcast here. They can go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and go down to Go Yard. I've just about mentioned our Sunday show, Go Yard. Go down to Go Yard, and you can listen to last week's show, which is great, and we'll help people catch up. But, Dr. Angel, tell us why we are excited about this topic. Why are we excited about this topic? Are you excited about this topic?
I'm always excited about this topic.
Why are you, as a therapist, PhD, mental health counselor, why are you excited about this topic?
Because it is a foundational topic. If we can get this topic in our lives, it will change everything about our lives.
What will it change?
It'll change us. It'll change our relationships. It'll change all kinds of stuff in our lives. So this is like, you know, when you're building a building, the first thing, the most important thing is the footer.
Yeah.
You know, that part that goes under the ground. That decides how, before the foundation,
the footer.
Right. That decides how tall that building can be, how much weight. This is a footer topic. Boundaries is a footer topic.
Boundaries.
The better we have boundaries, the more stable we are, the more stable and healthy our relationships are, professionally, personally, like all of us. It just goes into all areas of our lives.
It's so important. And I think a lot of people don't even know that or know anything about this subject. It's not something you hear on the street. It's not something that common people talk about. People in your line of work and mine, we talk about boundaries, but I think the average person, you know, just reacquaint them with what we're talking about here, like define it. What is a boundary and that kind of stuff? Just give us a little synopsis from last week, which, by the way, last week's show was very good.
And last week's show really went over in the details of what it is.
Yes.
But basically what a boundary is it kind of defines who we are,
right,
what we're responsible for, what we're not responsible for. And it can come in the form of like our skin and body and words. It can come.
Yeah.
Back up.
Skin, body, words. Like,
so our skin is a boundary.
Let's say somebody missed last week.
Okay.
Tell them what that means.
Our skin is a boundary. You know, we get to decide, you know, who gets to enter our skin or, you know, touch our skin and not touch our skin. Words, what words we use, what words we'll accept. Those are where we're setting boundaries. you know, time is a boundary, how we spend our time and where we gift it, or, you know, all kinds of feelings can be, you know, a boundary. So we can have boundaries in all kinds of areas. But basically what it's for is showing us what I'm responsible for.
Right.
And what I'm not responsible for.
Now, you made a big point last week about we can be responsible for people like children, parents, whatever, right?
Right.
You want to distinguish between responsible to, responsible for.
So responsible to other people, not for other people.
Okay.
We're responsible only for ourselves. That's the only person we have control over.
Right.
So
okay.
We're responsible to them, meaning I have responsibility to care for my children, provide for my children, raise my children.
Sure.
But I am not responsible for the choices and their behaviors and what they're doing. Now, their choices may trickle down and I might have to pay money if they mess something up, but I am responsible to them.
You know,
and we have, and a lot of times as parents, that's a big one.
Yes, it is.
Because we want to save our children from the pain and suffering of life.
I think we're big about that a lot of times.
And we're hurting them.
Yeah.
Because, and we think we're helping them.
But so many parents have, let's say, have a troubled teen that's either using drugs or has gotten into some kind of legal trouble or whatever. And the natural tendency, at least it's been my experience from being around a lot of parents for a whole lot of years, is that they want to try to rescue that child from consequences.
We do. We kind of feel maybe guilt or responsibility or something in that. And so that's what boundaries is about. Boundaries shows me where my responsibilities lie and you know, and where they don't. Because sometimes what we're doing is we are actually hurting people and we're not realizing it because we think we're helping them.
Right.
But we're actually crossing boundary lines into what another person needs to learn for himself or herself.
Exactly. And especially when kids become of age, let's say 18 or whatever, although so many across America kids come back home, live with their parents, and they're 25, they're 28, whatever the case may be, it's something going on culturally, right?
Absolutely, it is. It is.
And that can cause a lot of internal problems in the home.
It really can, you know, and so that's where learning some of the laws of boundaries, that's what we're going to kind of talk about tonight. You know, last week we talked about what a boundary really is and what it really isn't.
Okay.
But it's really to let good in our life and then keep the bad out.
Right.
That's kind of the bottom line, easiest
way to
define that.
That's a good way to look at it. Right.
So now how do we do that? That's what we're going to look at, the how.
And that's interesting because so often I think we aren't even, people aren't even aware that this is something they should be thinking about. And then when something happens in their life with a teenager, let's say, or somebody, then they begin to realize, wait a minute, you know, That child may need to, you know, face these consequences. You know what I mean?
True, because, you know, that's how we learn.
Right.
Pain brings change. And
right.
So sometimes when we keep others from feeling the pain, they're not motivated to change.
But so many of us do
very
thing. We don't want somebody else, especially a relative, especially a child, to suffer pain or go, you can't picture them in a jail cell, for instance, right?
Correct. It's hard, but they're freeing. Boundaries will set you free.
Okay.
And that's the most important thing. When I really get where my responsibilities are, where my boundaries are, and as I learn and grow and develop, and it's not going to be something that you'll hear the show and you're like, okay, Dr. Angel, I have all my boundaries in place tomorrow.
It's something that
grows over time. And they may change. You know, when you're first starting boundaries, sometimes you get a little tighter on your boundaries and then you learn who you can kind of lighten them up with, you know?
Right.
And so it can become a little more individualized. And as you get stronger in them, it's easier to do that.
Right.
So,
well, it's just like a teenager, again, back to teens, that, you know, you want to cut them a little slack when they get their driver's license. And, okay, you can drive, you know, this much, or you got to be in by 10 o'clock or whatever. And it's like testing to see if they're going to actually abide by that boundary.
Right. And so when they follow those boundaries, you learn you can trust them more. And so you don't feel like you have to have such rigid boundaries as you gain trust in relationships.
Right.
And that's what this is really about.
So it's not just teenagers. It's like married couples, whatever,
any
engaged couples, whatever, or friendship. It's even friendship.
Doesn't even have to relate to a relationship. This can be about you personally.
Ah, explain that.
We can use boundaries and how we motivate and to do what we want to do, or where we find our morals or our values might lie.
Yeah,
this will help us identify who we are so that we can communicate that to people, because some people really don't know those things.
And sometimes in social settings, people get drawn into just one more drink, or oh, come on, try this pot, or whatever the case may be, and they haven't established their own personal boundary. No, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or no, you know, two drinks was my limit, and I've had my limit. Thank you. And, you know, they'll feel, you know, peer pressured into,
yes.
you know, not sticking to their own conviction. And so boundaries helps us find those convictions and stick to them.
Okay. With that example, like the social drinking, there are times that other people at that table, let's say, are having 4, 5, 6, and they want to feel better about what they're doing. So they're pressuring a person to violate their own boundary. You know what I'm saying? I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Right.
But the stronger you get in developing them, the easier it is for you. Because boundaries is about setting yourself free from the opinion of others.
Whoa. Oh, I like that. I got to write that down. That's really a good generalization. Right?
Because
don't you think?
That's where some of the freedom comes. When I have boundaries and I am secure in my boundaries, it doesn't matter what you think. It's not going to change who I am as a person.
Yeah.
If you agree with me or disagree with me. And so it sets you free. So when other people's opinions aren't, you know, dictating your course of action, you have a lot of freedom in that.
But so often we cave. People cave until they...
Until they get stronger and stronger,
yes. But initially, when they're beginning to realize that they're being put in a social situation or a family situation that is not comfortable for them, a lot of times people will just escape, leave, or remove themselves, which isn't necessarily a bad thing to do.
No, because that, you know, is also a boundary that they can choose to set. Because it takes a while to get strong enough to have that actual confrontational no with somebody.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's,
I'm not comfortable with that. So instead of doing whatever it is I'm feeling pressured in doing, maybe I'm removing myself from that situation, which gives you the same end result you didn't do. But as you get stronger, it's easier to actually stand up and have that verbal confrontation about.
Exactly.
You know, and it's taken years. Like, boundaries is just something that grows through your
happens.
Life.
It just happens. Yeah, it takes time.
You know, recently I was on a trip with some people who do not have very good boundaries or very strong boundaries. And they're used to being able to talk people into doing all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to me, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you're no fun if you don't. And I just looked at them and said, it doesn't matter what you think. That's not what I want to do. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Go have fun.
Wait a minute. I think you need
it.
To say that again. Bobby, we really need a bell right there. I was trying to say all those B words at once there. But we need a bell here. When you say that again about that's not what I want to do type thing.
No, it wasn't what I want to do. And so, and I don't remember how I just said that.
I don't either. There we go.
You get a bell anyway.
Yeah, thanks.
But it was, you know, I don't, it's okay. It's okay if you don't think that's, I'm fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with my choice. You guys go have fun. Enjoy it. I would love to hear your story when you've, you know, done that activity. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
How was it received?
It was a lot, you know, more trying to talk me into it. And I just kept having to repeat myself. And finally, it was like, you can try talking me all day long. You're not going to be able to, you know, because that's just not something I'm wanting
to do. But you being able to set that kind of a firm boundary is unusual for a lot of people. They cave, don't you think?
They do. And that takes years and years and years of practice. But that's where we want to get to in our boundaries. Where we're, you know, confident enough and firm enough that we can say, yeah, you know, I appreciate that. Or no.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah,
but
that's not
for
I'm
me.
Doing.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And to walk, be able to walk off that situation and know I stood firm to my own conviction.
Right.
In the beginning, like I said, most people may want to just exit that situation or get a distraction. We use some more of those passive ways.
Right.
Because it's hard to confront. And that's okay because that's how we learn.
And don't you think, speaking of that some people handle this instead of saying, okay, no, that's not what I want to do, like what you just said, an example. A lot of people just remove themselves from the situation or don't respond to the comment or whatever. They just kind of...
Right. We try to take the passive way out sometimes.
Passive way out, thinking that that's okay. It's sending the message, but it's really kind of a...
Well, it's a growing... You know, in the beginning, we are going to take passive way outs. And I'd rather someone use know their conviction and their boundary and stick to it and need some passive way outs than to just fold and cave and not have that. And because we're really tossed by the wind and the waves when we don't have those convictions.
We are.
We really are. Whoever you hang around or whatever you're doing.
Are you a different person with this set of people or this set of people or whatever, right?
Absolutely. And so
unfortunately, a lot of people are.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's
I've
the
learned,
fake stuff.
It is. And I've learned to grow. You can take work coworkers, you can take personal friends, you can take my family and bring them in the room, and they will generally say, I'm the same person across the board.
Wow. That's really good.
Although commendable. I'm more professional at work and casual with friends, my convictions don't change.
Right. And it's so the convictions are what makes you who you really are. It's your character, right?
It is your character.
And don't you think a lot of times character is what we do when nobody's really watching us?
Absolutely what we do when nobody's watching us. And character's our foundation. So that's the foundation. Boundaries are the footer to build that character.
Okay. Got it. All right, so let's talk about the laws of boundaries, and the first one is so interesting. Take it.
It's the law of cause and effect.
Cause and effect.
We teach this to children when they're little, and then we forget about it when we become adults. You know,
right.
It's what we reap, we sow. And so oftentimes, we want to reap and think one thing and sow another thing. You know, with eating, people would, we're going to go to fast food. We're going to eat junk. We're convenient foods. But then we're upset when that scale says, you know, we're 25 pounds overweight or our A1C is coming back really high or something. We're like, how did that happen?
Right.
Well, we have been reaping that for a long time. Now we're sowing that.
Right.
And so it's true. You know, you're not going to plant corn and come back and have wheat there.
Right.
It's just not. But we do that in our life. We think that's how it works.
Right. We think that if we can just... I'll just do this or I'll just do that, and it's not going to have any consequence.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that you wanted to talk about this tonight, because I just did a Facebook post last night at Bible study that I was teaching, and it's out there on Facebook if anybody wants to catch it. But it is about sowing and reaping, and that if you sow deceit, you're going to reap that. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. Corn, you're going to reap corn. But I think a lot of people, that's a basic concept
to
life. But you know what, doctor? I believe a lot of people don't get that at all. They feel like they can just go and do whatever, and there's not going to be any consequences on their
or
life.
Whatever. They're like, some people have this goal that they want to achieve, but they're not reaping their time towards that goal. And they're how is this not happening? They're like surprised.
Right.
It's like Christmas comes every December 25th. You know, people get surprised by that sometimes. They do. And the same thing with ours. You know, what we reap, that's what we're growing for ourselves. So when we're reaping truth, we're growing truth. When we're reaping whatever, if we're working towards a goal, we should be, sowing into that goal.
Okay, so how does that apply to boundaries? So the boundary is that when we are sowing a particular thing, there's a boundary around that sowing.
Absolutely.
And it's going to reap that.
We're reaping what we sow. So whatever you're planting in your life, that's what you're growing in your life.
Right.
And so think about that. Start thinking about the different areas. Where are you spending your time? Are you coming home from work and watching 7 hours of Netflix and surprised that you're not, your house isn't where you want it to be, or you're not getting to where you're wanting to go and you're depressed.
Right.
We have to take those efforts to sow those areas.
And I know there's a lot of people that say it's important that we get like 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night. But there's a lot of people that get far more than that. And it is an indication of their lack of productivity, usually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if they think they have to have 12 hours of sleep every night, there's something wrong.
Unless they have a health condition, I agree. The problem with this law of reaping and sowing is a lot of times people will rescue.
Yes.
So they'll let their kids put off the science fair project.
That's what we're talking about earlier. Yeah.
And then guess who's doing science fair project? They're going to try and rescue. Well, you just taught your kids, you can sow procrastination and you're still reaping a project. That's not life. You just broke that boundary for them.
But again, a lot of parents do it.
Yes, they do. I can't tell you how many times on Facebook I've watched parents post, "Oh, look at my school project I did for my son," and I'm like, "That's really sad."
Right, it is, because rescuing will always come back to haunt you. You know,
yes,
when
will.
We rescue people in our lives from the consequences of their own actions or the words that came out of their mouth and we just gloss it over like it didn't happen. OK, that is that's just crossing that boundary. I mean, that's
it is. And so if this is a primary boundary, so think about what you're sowing in your life. What right. do you want to reap in your life? Are they in alignment? Is one leading you to the other? And if it's not, then you can stop sowing what you're sowing and change some of those seeds in your life.
Absolutely. I was a high school teacher right out of college, and I cannot tell you how many times that kids would not turn in assignments, would not, you know, do the lab work. They were just sitting over there goofing around, you know, and being silly and not doing what they were supposed to do. And then they come in all upset and couldn't understand why the grade. So that's, you know, this is what you're talking about. This is foundational.
And if our kids aren't learning this when they're little, they will learn it as adults. It'll just be bigger issues.
Right.
And so we have to learn, you know, if we want our kids to be adults, to be self-sufficient, to be healthy, they have to learn this as well, just
right.
like we have to learn it. And
absolutely.
So this is primary. We have to enforce this.
Okay. So in the law of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a law from physics.
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? All right. What's the second one?
The law of responsibility. We're going to take this real quick here.
Yeah.
This law includes just taking responsibility for our own lives and loving others. So not
Whoa.
Taking responsibility for others' lives.
Right.
Taking responsibility for our own life. We are to love one another, not be one another.
Again, we go back to parents. And so often you see a parent in their 30s, they've got their kid in mid school or, you know, or high school, and they never were the cheerleader or they were not on the football team. And they are gung-ho that kid's going to do that.
Living vicariously through
them. Living vicariously. It's a problem in our culture, don't you think? I mean, kids are so overstressed with activities, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. But definitely projecting onto someone else what
right.
they need to be to fill some other, that's not healthy, that's a bad boundary.
Right.
So we need to be ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves and love other people.
Right. Okay. So take care of yourself and love other people. And we're going on with these laws, these boundaries in just a minute. We're glad you've joined us here on Go Yard tonight. And remember, you can go to our website, goyard2014.org, to catch up with old shows.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Because you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I never know what songs you and Bobby have come up with before I arrive. and slide into this chair, but it's always fun to see what you guys come up with. Both of those very good songs. What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, really?
I love that song, and you know, it's one of my favorite
Nietzsche quotes. The way you are dancing and singing to it in here. Yeah, I was.
Well, actually, it's a quote from Nietzsche, and it's actually one of my favorite ones. I've changed it a little bit. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger if you let it.
If you let it.
I've added the if you let it, because I watched people let things make them weaker.
Aha, very good point. Let's get back to that point in just a moment. We're glad you're joining us tonight on Go Yard. This is the Life Coaching Show that we have every single week, and we're almost ready to complete our third year in September. Can you believe that?
No.
Dr. Angel Falzoni is our resident expert, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. She just drove 6 hours to get here this afternoon.
Yeah, about four and a half, yeah.
Oh, about four and a half, yeah, six. And and really, because you were working on the other coast today with your job, and you're a licensed mental health counselor, PhD, you come to this show with expert advice, plus a mother of three wonderful sons.
Yes.
And you've gone through your difficult times and all of that. Yeah. And I'm Mama Mac, and that was my real estate commercial, and I've been doing real estate for now 25 plus years, not 23, although that commercial still works. But also pastor church, and have counseled a lot of people through the years. And so we kind of team up here on the show. Kind of it was a vision, wasn't it, for us 3 years ago of wanting to do something here on this station. We have our Sunday show about God and the Bible, but we wanted to do something to really connect with people's everyday lives and help them live better. You want to amplify on that? Why we do this?
Yeah.
Why do we do this every week?
We do this. Life is tough, you know, and going through it, sometimes we get stuck, or we feel stuck, or we get in a rut, or sometimes we're just not sure.
Right.
And so that's what this is about. This is about giving you real tools, real counsel, real things that will make your life better today.
Absolutely.
No matter where you are.
And you oversee a lot of counselors and all of that, and so a lot of them listen, and a lot of other people, of course, listen. We get a lot of questions sent to us for shows, which we will have another Q&A show pretty soon. If you have a question you'd like to hear Dr. Angel's answer on, you can email it. That's the best way, because these questions are usually lengthy. And it's goyard2014@gmail.com and or Facebook. We're on Facebook 1340.
Yes,
Goyard 1340 on Facebook. So, Doctor, we're talking about boundaries and how important these are. And you and I both discussed that in the 3 years we've been on the show, we have talked about boundaries a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've had times where we've done two or three shows on boundaries, and we keep coming back to it because we see the need with people we encounter in our daily lives and our jobs, et cetera, that don't understand this concept. I want you to, once again, as we start the second half of the show, before we get to our law of responsibility here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we did kind of talk about the law of responsibility, but how important it is that our listeners understand that we are all growing and all changing, and hopefully we are better at solving our problems and our issues than we were 10 years ago.
Well, that's the whole goal of our journey, is to be better today than we were yesterday.
Right.
And our only yardstick of measurement is ourself.
Right.
You know, oftentimes people come in, you know, to the therapy room, and they want to compare themselves to their neighbor, to their best friend, to their sister, to somebody close to them. And you're not them. You didn't have their same experiences, journeys. Even if you're twin siblings in the same home, there's still lots of differences about who makes us unique and individual.
Right.
And so my only yardstick I can tell you to measure yourself is yourself. Are you stronger today than you were yesterday?
Right.
And if
are you coping better with life?
That answer is yes, then you're making steps positive on your journey. If that answer is no, then let's get you there.
Yeah, because there's no quiz. There's no test. There's no way to really say how well you're doing at setting boundaries in your life. But because this topic is so foundational to good mental health and good relationships, we keep coming back to it.
We do, because honestly, without it, you can't be healthy yourself or have healthy relationships.
No. Yeah. So let's talk about the third law, the law of power.
So the law of power is really what my power is. You know, so often we think our power relates to other people and what we can really control. And I know we've talked about what I can control. I control my actions, my attitudes, my behaviors, my successes, my failures. Those are the things I can control.
Right.
That's all I get to control.
But you know what? The average person out there would say, no, wait a minute. I'm a mother. I control my kids. I control what we eat for dinner. And they can go on and on and on about all the things that they, or a boss in a work situation can talk to us about that.
But truth, our own control is really over us.
Us. Right. And how we react to things, right?
Other people may choose to submit to our, you know, control at some level, but that's on them to choose to make that behavior to submit. We're not really controlling anything else unless we have, you know, a gun to someone's head and we're forcing them to do something that we don't really have control over them.
Right.
And so we only can control ourselves.
We can't make them think a certain thing.
Not at all. And so my son and I, is actually funny, my college kid who was home for the summer, we had a conversation about acceptance and acknowledgement, because that's really what power lies in.
Acceptance and acknowledgement. I like that. Talk about that.
And our conversation started, you know, is, you know, acceptance and acknowledgement of, like, an issue in your life or a problem in your life, that's the same thing. And we got into a deep discussion. I'm like, well, not really. You know, I can acknowledge I have a problem. It doesn't mean I've accepted that mm-hmm. problem. First, mm-hmm. we have to acknowledge it, and then we accept it. And that's where the power lies.
Right.
Yes, I acknowledge I have a problem with boundaries. Now I'm going, you know, to accept that. And what can I do? Once we accept it, we're putting in action to make it better.
So it's not enough to just say, yeah, but this happens, let's say, in an abusive situation. A lot of times somebody just absolutely loses control of themselves and they say terrible things, or they put their fist through the wall, or you know, whatever the case may be. And later, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But there's no change.
There's no change. And so acceptance always comes with change.
Aha. Okay, that's very important right there. Acceptance comes with change.
So if you only have acknowledgement, that's one step, but that's just it. Acceptance has a change behind it. If I'm accepting it, I am adding a change to it. That's how I am showing that acceptance. That's the action to acceptance.
So if there's no action, then do you really truly accept it? You've just acknowledged, yeah, okay, yeah, I was a little out of line.
Absolutely. And that's where our power lies. And we have to remember, that's my power, because we give that up so often.
Yeah.
You know, we blame others for our behaviors.
Oh,
not someone else's fault I behave that way. It was a really crappy choice on my part. And just taking responsibility for that.
It takes a big person to take responsibility, don't you think?
Yeah. And you know what? I can't tell you how many times as a mom I've had to sit all my kids down and apologize for saying something or doing something I shouldn't have done. And, you know, making mistakes as we grow. And that was a very humbling experience.
Right.
But that's... it was truth. I took responsibility for my actions. And then I tried not to do it again and to put checks in there. So to remind myself not to do it again.
But it's so many times people don't face where their responsibility is. They try to pass the buck. It's a common human tendency to put the responsibility for the failure of that plan working out on someone else. Well, you.
Look what you made me do.
You made me do this. Or you. Yeah, exactly.
You're making me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not you. And I know we've done shows on the I statements, but that's really our powers. I have my own power.
Right.
And so if I'm feeling this way, it's my feeling. I have to take ownership.
Now, right.
Some of the things you're doing might contribute to my feelings, but they're still my feelings.
So when an abuser says, you just said this and it made me so mad, that's why I took the coffee table and threw it through the window, right? I mean, I've heard this kind of stuff in counseling, and you have too, right? And no, not taking any responsibility for their actions, because basically, if you hadn't done that, if you would have just given me everything I wanted when I wanted it and been the sweetest little thing in the whole wide world and never ever crossed me or never ever said, no, wait a minute, let's talk about that, then I wouldn't behave like I do.
Absolutely, and that's just not taking responsibility, and that's someone who has no boundaries. And so when we start to learn and recognize boundaries, we make our changes in us first, and then we can start to see where other people's boundaries start to cross ours. And then we start setting our own boundaries to help
protect
ourselves.
Can you give us an example of that?
So once I start growing in myself and I'm like, when somebody's projecting blame onto me, that's their boundary. I'm not going to let someone talk to me like that.
There you go.
So my boundary is, if they're going to be in anger, mean words, we're not having a conversation. I might leave the room. I might leave the house. I might.
Yeah, and if they're going to throw something through the window, I'm not going to stay there and see what they're going to do next.
I might leave that relationship.
Exactly.
We start developing our own boundaries as we grow in this.
Exactly. So a person that holds a gun to your head in a relationship, one of my relatives, it's been a few years back, but actually had a butcher knife held to her pregnant stomach by her abusive husband. Okay, that to me is like the end of the line.
That's total deal breaker.
Okay, that's a deal breaker, but it hasn't been.
Right.
A lot
of times that's true.
And why is that? That is not the case sometimes.
Because that person first didn't have healthy boundaries.
Right.
So they didn't know that this is what I'm responsible for. This is what I deserve. This is who I am. I didn't have my own code that I live to. So when people are, you know, violating that code, I had no idea that this code exists or I should have this, that they don't make an action.
And that's why one reason we're doing this show.
Right.
So when something huge or even small happens, then that's when our personal boundaries need to kick in. And we say, that's not okay. Right?
Right. It's something we live by every day.
Right. Something we live by. So can you just kind of, the abused wife, let's say, just throw that example out. I'll just give you the example that I just gave you. What should that person's reaction have been?
Well, in a healthy boundary person, she would have walked out that door and didn't look back and kept herself and her child safe.
Right.
Because we learn we're valued when we have boundaries. I have a value.
Right.
And, you know,
boundaries give us value.
They give us freedom. They give us value.
Yes.
They give us character. Like all of these foundational things are built on those boundaries. And so if I don't feel like I have value, I probably don't have boundaries. So if you are one of those people that struggle with self-esteem,
right,
you struggle with boundaries.
Right. And actually, we're talking about the law number four, really, we just kind of morphed into it.
Yes, we did.
Freedom. When we judge others' boundaries, ours will come under the same judgment.
Which happens. So when people start learning to set boundaries, you know, I've got this, you're not going to talk rude to me, but then they talk rude to others.
Right.
We can't do that.
Right.
We have to put ourselves under the same boundaries that we're expecting other people to come into for our lives. And so freedom gives freedom. So if we want the freedom to have boundaries, we need to be able to let others have those
boundaries.
Freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
So when we ask, you know, our neighbor if they can pick up our kids and they say no, we need to be able to accept that no.
Right.
Instead of trying to talk them into it or manipulating or make them feel guilty, you know. So
some people are so good at this. I mean, I've actually, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But they want to have their own boundaries, too.
Yeah, but they're so good at the manipulation and the turning it around, you know.
But when you have stronger boundaries, it's more difficult to manipulate you.
Right.
Because when I know my moral code, you're not changing my code.
Right.
It's more difficult for someone to make you, you know, to project that guilt on. You won't accept that guilt. It's not my guilt. It's not my responsibility. I know what I'm responsible for.
Right.
That, like my son called me. This is a good one. My son in Alaska, who I have taught to save so much of his paycheck, every paycheck for an emergency fund since he was 13, did not do that. And now his truck is broken. I get a phone call, Mom, I need money to fix my truck. Well, son, where's your emergency account? Oh, I spent it. I had to get new fishing rods because it's salmon season. I said, oh, boy, does that stink. I said, guess what? You're going to be walking everywhere till you can save up the money. I'm not going to just write you a check.
Whoa, that's huge, Mama. That is really...
And I didn't feel guilty about that.
Good for you.
Because I knew he was taught that. He was modeled that. He's been coached that. He chose to ignore it. Guess what? He will probably have an emergency fund for the rest of his life now.
Right.
You know, so... One of those things.
Right. And so, yeah, it's interesting how things like that in life can remind us and teach us those big lessons.
They
you know?
Do.
And he won't forget that mama said no.
He's not going to forget that. And he has to walk to work. And, you know, and I helped him brainstorm other ways he can fix his car for less money. You know, we talked about it. It wasn't like I hung up the phone. I'm like, too bad your problem, but I'm not giving you the check. So what else can you do? You know, can you learn to fix it yourself and just buy the part? And that's what he's working to do.
Okay.
So that's a good choice. But the long and short of it is I didn't feel guilty. I knew he was trained and taught. It wasn't my responsibility. He's an adult now. It's his responsibility to start caring for himself.
And where that breaks down probably is when a parent really hasn't spent time drilling those things into the minds and the hearts of our kids.
Absolutely.
When we really have some responsibility because we didn't train them about that.
Absolutely. You know, and I know he had that account when he was set up to leave, and, you know, it was, he had good funds in there, and he decided snowboards and fishing poles are pretty emergency issues. So,
right, yeah.
He'll learn.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Good example. The law of respect. Talk to me more about that.
Well, respect is, you know, we want to treat others the way we want to be treated. You know, it really goes down to the golden rule.
It does.
And, you know, so foundational and so profound.
Absolutely it is.
How often are we really treating people the way we want to be treated?
Right. That's exactly
we're
right.
We're not. Most of the time, we're not. You know, we want to be treated with respect, but yet we can talk to other people very rudely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want that person to let us in traffic, but we don't let anybody else get in front of us in traffic. Right. Think about, you know, especially here in Florida where traffic is just a nightmare and I spend all those hours on the road. There's a lot of rude people out there, you know,
yeah.
And we need to start thinking about how do I want to be treated?
Exactly.
And am I modeling that to
others? Do we hold the door for people? Do we, you know, help them, you know, with an umbrella if it's pouring down rain outside or whatever, and they're coming out of a store, whatever. I mean, there's so many examples.
Absolutely, you know. And
how do we model this
right,
kind of behavior?
That's the law. So we need to treat other people's
with
boundaries
respect. Yeah.
The way we want our boundaries treated.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
It's not personal. And so many times people personalize.
Explain that.
When somebody has a boundary, you know, I can't, you know, sorry, I can't, you know, pick up your kids today for you. I have other things to do. They'll take
they
that as a personal, and they're
yeah.
mad, and they're offended, and they're not talking to them. This is not personal.
I mean, no. And but I've known mothers like that back when my kids were little mm-hmm. that could ask you to always do this, please do this, please do that. But then when you said no, it was cause for a problem.
It became a trauma drama, like I like
exactly.
to call that. But that's
yeah.
true. So respect is really important, and we have
right.
to really keep that umbrella of respect. It goes mm-hmm. two ways.
Right.
And we need to give others respect, and just as we want them to respect
us. And teach
us.
It to our kids when they're small.
Yes.
Why is that important?
The earlier we can teach our children these principles, the better they're going to be by the time they hit adulthood.
Right.
You know, they're still going to have lots of bumps and bruises to learn in adulthood. We all do. But they'll at least have a really, really good foundation going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really important. So many of our kids have no idea about any kinds of boundaries.
Or respect for others.
Respect
things,
for themselves.
Or for themselves, right.
For things, for property. You know, they just come home, plop everything down on the floor. Like,
right.
you know, they're not caring for themselves or their belongings.
I think that is a huge problem in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing of people in a family expecting the mother, usually,
mm-hmm.
to just pick up the slack, mm-hmm. clean it up. Oh, well, so I spilled pop on the floor. Well, your sister just stepped in it and slid and fell.
Right.
Yeah, well, I know.
Or, you know, we live in such a throwaway culture that
yeah.
they don't take care. You know, they're throwing their belongings. Oh, you can just buy another one.
Right.
Really? Because they worked like 4 hours to buy that for you, and that's a lot of time.
Right.
Like, we talk about things in hours in my house. This is
really?
How many hours I had to pay to work to pay
to buy
for
that.
This. Because I
that's
need
a
them
good
to
point.
Realize that concept.
Yeah.
This it's not. There's no tree in the backyard we're plucking off
right.
you know, the dollars from. It comes from work, and
right.
work takes time.
Right.
And so learn, you know, helping our kids to learn to pick up after themselves, to put their toys away. Those are really great skills. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, absolutely.
We're all the way.
And
up.
Then when they say no and they walk out of the room, there should be a consequence for that.
Oh, my kids' toys used to get time out. The toy would have to go
yes.
to time out for quite a bit of time.
Right. Right.
Which was always a sad occasion. But they learned,
mm-hmm.
you know, to take care of their belongings. And now they take really good care of their things.
Yeah. But you instill that in them at a young age. That's what we're talking about.
So the younger we can grab our kids with this, the better they do at it.
Right. Okay. The law of motivation. What is that?
Motivation. Freedom first, service second. So we give from the overflow of our hearts. That's
okay.
what we can give from. Love and service that leaves us feeling depressed or sad. That's not true love.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we are given out of obligation.
Aha, uh-huh, yes.
Sometimes we're given out of some kind of duty, or they'll think, I'm Christian enough if I could volunteer to all these things at church. But I really don't have time to do that. You know, so freedom first. First, I have to have the freedom to care for me, my family, and my needs.
But you just mentioned church, and,
mm-hmm.
and that also an example of that would be social clubs and
statuses,
things like that.
Absolutely.
Parent stuff at school. there are some people that just plain go overboard in volunteering. And yeah, they maybe that's a good thing sometimes, but it can get way out of whack. You want to comment on that?
Oh, it definitely gets out of balance.
But they get a lot of attention for always being the go-to person that will go ahead and organize the prom or go ahead and organize this or that, right?
But it's hurting their boundaries because our boundaries are responsibility to ourselves. And if we can't maintain...
To ourselves. That is right. Something that's huge right there.
And if we can't maintain ourselves and then our family comes next...
Right.
We have no business putting extra time into other things while those things are falling apart. And so usually you feel really tired, exhausted, sad because you had your accolades and now it's over and now you come home to this messy house and
right.
Everything chaotic and you didn't invest it there. And that's what we have to watch is our motivation. What are we motivated by when mm-hmm. we are donating our time or doing things for others? False motives hinder boundaries. So things like, I'm going to give you my time because I don't want to lose your love. Or I feel like you're going to abandon me. So I'm always taking care of some family member because I don't want, you know, a rejection from them.
Or I want to be noticed in the family as the one.
I want to be in the will. That's a bad motive. I'm afraid of their anger. So I'm just going to do because I don't want their anger.
Right.
Or I don't want to be lonely. So I'm going to do. Or I don't want to be the bad guy. I can't tell you how many times people have talked about that bad guy syndrome. I think we should do a whole show on the bad guy eventually. Because
I'm going to write it down right now. The bad guy syndrome.
People are so afraid of being the bad guy. And you know what? It's okay to be the bad guy.
Oh, man, that is a good idea.
Or that
I'm
need of approval.
Down in our little, you know, our little
people,
list here.
We just give because I need approval. I need acceptance because I don't have esteem in myself.
Right.
And so it comes from what I do. And the problem with that is, we can only do so much. Our time is a very limited resource. We can only give it so many places. We can only have so much time for things. And eventually it runs out or we run out. And then we find out we have no value because we can't keep giving like
that. We can't give that. And then they're mad at us or they feel like, why didn't she do that? Why she always does it? Let her do it or him do it or whatever, you know?
So remember, we give from our abundance. Not our deficit. So if this is hurting and causing a deficit for me to do it, then there's my boundary. I should not be doing it.
Okay. We should give from our abundance.
Always. It's abundance. Not what we're lacking. If I can't, you know, pick up my own kids and help them with homework, but I can, you know, be at the Civic Center, you know, hosting ladies events, that's giving out of a deficit to our family. We have to be careful.
Well, giving out of a deficit causes resentment.
Absolutely. Bad relationships, and it's bad boundaries. We're telling our kids, oh, this is more important than my family.
Yeah.
In the long run, that'll cause a family to end up in therapy someday. We don't want that. So give out of your abundance. Well, you have extra, you know? And if you're in too many things, take a step back. It's
so
okay.
A lot of times, people are motivated to do charitable acts and do loving acts because of what they're going to get out of it. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, they're getting something.
They're getting attention. They're getting
attention.
Right.
Self-esteem, or they're trying to avoid something bad, like someone being mad or rejecting them.
Right.
Absolutely. So those are false motives.
Right.
So think about your motives when you're putting your time somewhere.
We are running up on top of the hour, so I want you to go kind of back and summarize some. I think that helps when we get to the end of the show sometimes, and I think this topic is one of those that I think it would help us if you would kind of go back a little bit and just talk about what we're really talking about, the important points today, if you can.
That's okay. We hit five of our laws. So the law of cause and effect, you know, what we reap what we sow. What are you sowing? What do you want to reap? Are they in alignment? Is there a congruence there? If not, there's a place to start. The law of responsibility, that is taking responsibility for our own lives.
Right.
We're
not
responsible
expecting
for
others
ourselves,
to do that.
Not for others.
Right.
The law of power. What do I really have power over? I have power over my actions, my attitudes,
right,
my behaviors, my successes, my failures. Those are my power places. So am I acknowledging and accepting and putting action to that?
Right.
Or am I not? But that's my power.
Okay.
So take power when you have it. Don't give it. The law of respect is really about treating people the way I want to be treating, respecting others' boundaries, and so that, you know, I can expect them to respect my boundaries. It's giving. It's that whole balance of giving and taking. Freedom gives freedom. When I give you freedom to have boundaries, I have freedom to have boundaries. And that law of motivation, freedom first, service second. So if you're giving We want to give out of our overflow, out of our abundance, out of our extra time, money, resources, whatever it is we're giving. Make sure it's our extra.
Right.
We don't want to give for false motives.
Right. False motives. And so for the listener out there that goes, okay, I don't even know where to start. You've gone through so much. And this stuff is really deep and important, and and it's very practical. How does the beginner out there who says, yeah, I really didn't even understand boundaries till we started this series, or I don't even know where to begin. You know, what do you say to them, Dr. Angel?
Okay, I say it's start in the beginning. When you don't know where to begin, start in the beginning. Pick any one of these is a place to start. I would probably start at sowing and reaping.
It's a pretty foundational concept. Karma, what goes around comes around, right?
You hear it all the time in every culture. And what do I want to reap?
Right.
What am I sowing? Are they in alignment?
Right.
And if not, what can I do to make those changes? You know, and think about that in areas of your life. Because we want to start to have healthy boundaries. It starts about me first before I can bring them out to other people.
And for the person who says, wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to be centered on everyone else. You just said it starts with me first. Talk about
it. It does. Boundaries is about personal boundaries. I have to develop them, learn them, practice them.
Right.
And then I can bring them into my relationships. But first, I need to have boundaries within my own self, my own life.
So it's really a wonderful thing to concentrate on developing boundaries a little at a time.
Yep.
And just, this is an important subject.
It's foundational. It will change your life. It really will.
Okay, so let's talk about that for the 1 minute before we get out of here. What will it do for you if you really start practicing
these
things?
If you start practicing, first of all, you are going to have that internal code for yourself. You're going to know where you stand, where you don't stand. You know what you're responsible for, what you're not responsible for. You're going to know what you're willing to accept, what you're not willing to accept. It goes into your relationships, your self-esteem, your security, professional. You'll find things work better when you have that stability for yourself.
So good. Love it. Great topic. Glad you joined us tonight for part two of Boundaries. We'll go back on that next week. We want you to check out our podcasts on tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts, go to Go Yard, and you'll have last week's show. Tonight, you'll have this show up there. And there's a lot of them on our website, goyard2014.org. As always, it's fun to be with you every week. We want you to tell people about the show. If you want to be a sponsor, an ad, a person that has an ad on the show, contact us at goyard2014@gmail.com. Dr. Angel, you have anything else to say?
No, have a great week. How about that?
Yeah, and who are you, by the way?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, yeah, that's who you are, Mama Mac, right here. And Bobby the Engineer, and it's been great, and we'll see y'all next week live again right here from TanTalkNetwork.com.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.